Can you predict what will come in 100 years? Or in 10? Or in the next minute? Some people think they can. They'll predict the shape of the future because they make the future. Because they see beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown, Dimension X. We go ahead now in time.
Cosmic ray bomb they're testing out in the Pacific tonight.
A sparkling crystal diamond, vibrating at a higher frequency so y'all don't have to bother none.
Long run, our ship will make the CR bomb back page stuck.
Come take a listen.
Half the principles in this ship are pure theory.
Let your sensorium be nourished as Matt sheds light on the millennial ecstatics of the day.
So keep your mic open and keep talking. If anything goes wrong, we want to know exactly why.
Hello?
Are you there?
Oh my God.
It worked.
It worked. I can hear you perfectly.
Perfect. There you go.
Wow. I'm so sorry about that. Such a rookie mistake.
That's all right.
Not having the app ready. Jeez.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, my God. How are we ever going to recover? How am I going to recover?
Well, you updated.
Man, I'm just... by the way, I'm recording this. Is it cool if we just use all this? Because it doesn't matter anyway. And
yeah, that's fine.
All right, this is the podcast, so welcome. Yeah. What am I up to? Man, I live in Turkey now. I live in Istanbul. I don't know if you remember me from the Atlanta scene. We only met a few times, I think.
Yeah, I remember you at Java Monkey.
Right.
Yes. And you live in Turkey now. Your wife is from Turkey, right?
Right. You might have seen her perform. She might have performed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all right, well, let's try to get some semblance of order to this show here. All right, so welcome to the Matt Vaughn Show. This is my podcast, and we run a very, very tight ship here. Me and Greg just spent 30 minutes trying to get this Anchor app to work, and it was my fault because I didn't have the app updated. So I feel very ashamed, and all my desire to be funny and interesting has been sapped. So if it wasn't for that, this would be a really good episode if it wasn't for that. shit. But Greg, please forgive me. How do you pronounce your last name? Barons. Speaking Turkish now. Barons. What is that? Yep. What is that from? What is that?
It's a German origin.
German.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, let's try to get to something interesting. Jeez.
You don't want to German name recognition.
Yeah. Well, let's go into that. Have you done your ancestry.com, background?
No, I have not. But my dad's retired, so he's real big on that kind of stuff, tracing back his. I don't know. I think that's something you do when you run out of things to do.
Right. It is fun. I did it a little bit, but I lost interest.
Yeah, I think most people do when they get to a certain point. Like, as soon as you get out of the people that you can actually reach and touch, then you're kind of like, oh, all right. Yeah, this is interesting, but now what do I do?
Right. I'd like to see how, I did it just see like my heritage, like the breakdown of the DNA or whatever. Right. And it's exactly what I thought it would be, you know, English.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like no surprises. And my wife did it and it was like, okay, Turkish. So, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah, no surprises there. They got your money.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, that is the surprise. But to try to make this interesting, now I haven't done this research, but my one of my relatives, he claims that we are a descendant from Charlemagne.
Oh, okay.
Maine. But I also did research and read an article, and it was saying like that's not that big of a deal. Like half of the world is descended of Genghis Khan or some crazy shit like that, the way it all breaks down. So,
well, they say half of, or the entire world is descended from two people. So if you're into that kind of thing.
Whoa. Well, we just took a turn here. I don't know which way to go.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know what your religious background is, but you know, some people think that.
I don't know what yours is, so I don't want to offend you.
No, I don't really. I don't subscribe to any of the newsletters. I'm not a super religious person.
Yeah, I don't believe in Adam and Eve. I don't want to get too controversial on this podcast. I've been doing this a little bit already, controversial, saying I don't believe in Adam and Eve. But, dude, let's hear from you. So one of the reasons I reached out to you is because you recently started doing comedy full time, quit the day job, as it were. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It seems like I did it right at the right time now that everything's getting canceled.
I was thinking that as we were getting ready to start, I was like, yeah, didn't know if I would bring that up, but yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great
just
time.
Just in time for the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's I just tweeted out a status yesterday. Like, I'm just so glad that I picked now to pursue a career in public speaking.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you have a good sense of humor about it. So look at that.
Yeah, so I guess I'm doing something all right. But
that's right.
No, I mean, I don't know. Everything's still on so far. I guess the comedy shows are not considered large enough gatherings yet. At least the ones I'm doing.
Right, exactly. Flying under the radar.
Yeah, you know.
Well, see, look, it's good that you're not more successful.
Yeah.
So working out.
That's what I tell myself. Yeah, you're better off.
Yeah. This is your moment, man. This is your moment.
Yep.
Well, we're doing comedy here in Istanbul, and so a couple of our friends just started the Istanbul Comedy Club like last month, and we're having a show tomorrow, but we're hearing that maybe, you know, Istanbul might ban all public gatherings. So
yeah,
starting next week or something. So this might be the last one, or we don't know what's going to happen really.
Yeah. That seems to be pretty commonplace. And a lot of, I'm surprised that shows are still happening right now. A lot of stuff is getting canceled and then a lot of stuff isn't, but I think it's going to be kind of universal pretty soon. Cause what does it take for something like this? You know, they have to have no new reported cases for like 2 weeks or something like that before they give some kind of all clear shout.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I don't really know. I understand like the large, you know, getting the stadium shows and things like that, and, you know, NBA and all that kind of, you know, there's a lot of stuff being transmitted, but you know, little open mics and stuff, there's not that many people there, but all it takes is one, you know.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, shit, dude, it's like, I mean, I get it, but also, I mean, we don't need the whole global economy to crash.
Right.
I mean, how long can all, you know, how long can we all be quarantined? Already I've, I'm actually a therapist and I work with people all over the world, and already some people are reporting that their places of business are shutting down.
Yeah.
They, you know, they can't continue with getting services because of that. I mean, God dang, how much can everybody absorb that?
Yeah. I mean, the schools and stuff like that. Like I have a friend who lives in Kentucky and he said that his school district is closed until April something already. And it's,
hold tight, Greg.
Uh-huh.
Don't brag that you have a friend in Kentucky. I mean, don't brag. We were, I feel like we were really, vibing here. Now you're bragging.
Yeah. I'm so proud of my friend that lives in the sweatpants state.
I wasn't making fun of Kentucky. I like Kentucky. I was just fucking around. I just want to say that. I like Kentucky. I really do. The mountains and all that. So sorry.
But what kind Kentucky. Of, all those people, they're going to have to supplement with some kind of daycare or, whatever. People are, their jobs are closing down. And it's like some things you can't do from home. You know, like a lot of people, we're finding out right now that a lot of those jobs that people said that, you can't do that from home, are now they're figuring out how to do it from home. But a lot of stuff, like, I mean, before I quit my job, I was warehousing and, I couldn't do that from home.
Right. Yeah, just literally some jobs just cannot be done. But that's a good point of how it at the other side of this, if it's not a Mad Max apocalypse scenario after this, that, you're going to see there's no more excuse. Oh, well, you can't really do that from home.
Right.
It's been done for home for, the last 2 months. But another thing that's interesting. Well, I hope this is interesting to three people who listen. Hi, Mom. My mom is she'll listen. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Matt's mom.
yeah, she's very worried right now. But all the therapists are freaking out saying, how do we work online? How do we do the online telehealth stuff? And that's what me and my wife do now since we moved to Turkey. And now everybody's scrambling to try to figure out how to do it. So,
right.
It's kind of shaking a lot of things up.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I can sit at home and write articles or start a podcast or whatever, but yeah, like the bulk of what I'm doing is going out and speaking in public. And if that's shut down, it makes it a lot more difficult to do.
I'd say it makes it impossible.
Pretty much. I mean, unless you're going to see a big insurgence of live streamed comedy, which there's already, I feel like, a stigma that comics have about comedians who constantly do, going live and, YouTube comedians and stuff like that. And as I feel like a lot of people are going to have to go that route if they want to keep getting stuff out there. If we can't go out in public, like, who knows what's going to happen. But I don't know. Yeah, I think it's like anything.
That's a good point. Good point.
I think it's just another H1N1, bird flu, it's another setback. This one, I don't know why this particular one is so concerning to everyone when it doesn't have the same kind of death toll or anything else that at this point. But hey, I guess they learned lessons from the past and they're trying to be more prepared.
Well, I'm not going to answer what I really think right this show. Then we have a whole different show on our hands, Alex Jones sort of situation. But in all seriousness, I dabble end time scenarios. So, you know, this is not my first rodeo, is what I'm saying. I was saying this stuff about the swine flu. Some people were saying this about the swine flu, and like, you know, whatever is happening now, people were saying that's what's going to happen with the swine flu. And it blew over, you know, I mean, thousands died, but it didn't disrupt things like this. I got the swine flu and it sucked, man.
Oh,
I
mean,
it was like, I felt like I was going to die. I still remember it to this day. I was out of work for 10 days, sick for 2 weeks. So I don't know what that means, but we survived that. We survived that. Hopefully we'll survive this.
Yeah, I'm sure we probably will, but there is definitely a large scale concern that has not been seen before. I mean,
yeah, I know.
I mean, like you said, it's disrupting a lot more things than most of those have in the past.
Panic is mainstream now, man.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, and there's, you know, the constant news cycle and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know, it's crazy. Like, this one is I usually don't pay much mind to this kind of things and I just kind of keep going, but this one, it's pretty in your face. Like, people are canceling things left and right. I mean, just in the traffic and stuff in Atlanta, I've noticed a lot less people are out.
Oh wow, that says something.
Yeah. There's definitely, you know, you can't go anywhere without seeing, it's not seeing people wearing masks and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, before it was like, you'd see it in the airport, but now it's like, I was at a show last night at Ponce City Market downtown and I see people just walking around the mall with masks on.
Well, God damn, I forget what I was going to say. My brain is, and I hate to say this, but I'm feeling a little under the weather. I hope, you know, this is not like, this is the last documented conversation.
You're going to be going back to this at some point. Like, well, he said he wasn't feeling well.
He forgot what he was going to say.
Is that a symptom?
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember. See, I'm not sick. My friend who's an ER doctor, he said that this is like the swine flu, but now we have Twitter and Facebook to freak each other out.
Yeah, to definitely fuel it.
But, well, maybe let's switch to more more entertaining or fun subjects. What I like so much about what you do, and I follow your stuff, is the local comic memes.
Thanks.
Those are spot on. Maybe you can explain those to our listeners, and by listeners I mean my mom.
I love my inside baseball comedy. I spend way too much time doing it, but I do every week on Fridays I do posts of local comedian, which is basically all jokes about stuff that people do at open mics or new comics do. And it's one of those things that kind of just stings comedians because everybody has been there and done that and done something stupid. And I just try to be observant of silly things that comedians do en masse and just make jokes about it. And then I also, on Wednesday, I do stand-up comedy memes. I write way too many jokes about comedy specifically that I have no place for but social media. Like, a local comedian has a dedicated Twitter that's just at a local comedian, and then it's all jokes. Actually, that's funny. You're over in Turkey. A local comedian has a rather large following in India, in the comedy scene in India, which I think is very strange.
Wait, really?
My dedicated Twitter page for local comedian, which I just do on Fridays, it somehow some comedian in India, which I from what I hear, that has a fairly large English speaking comedy scene, in at least in the major cities, somebody found it, shared it, and then I immediately got like 100 followers in India, like of just comments. Yeah, like immediately, as soon as somebody in India shared it, some comic, because like the local comedian specifically, I think like occasionally like my musician friends will relate to it or something like that. But I mean, it's, and you'll get it if you're not in comedy sometimes, but it's mostly for comedians. But yeah, somebody got a hold of it in India and shared it. And then immediately I just started getting all of these followers from the all Indian stand-up comics, which is great.
Man, that is so cool. Well, hey, welcome to all of Greg's Indian fans.
Yeah.
big fan of India. Big fan of Indian food.
I don't think they're particularly fans of me. They're fans of local comedian. So I have, you know, obviously I operate as a comedian and under my name, and I have my own Twitter, which is at Gregular Comedy, which is just me posting jokes and stuff like that. But the local comedian one is a separate thing. And I always joke about how the local comedian one is followed by more bookers and industry than my actual comedy page.
Oh, wow. Because
it's me making fun of comedians, and I feel like they are more interested in that than my actual comedy.
Yeah. What are some of your more favorite ones? And I'm trying to remember. I mean, they're all funny. Some of them do, you know.
Well,
cut to the quick, because I'm like, well, sure.
So I've done that, but yeah, if you don't, you know, if you don't know it, like, I mean, basically, they're all, you know, they're all in a kind of a comedian referring to himself, and it's just stuff like, local comedian hopes you guys are ready for a female comic. You know, just all, like, just all terrible stuff that comedians do.
Greg, this is so universal, dude. Well, first of all, that's really cool. You have that international connection, and being over here in Istanbul, it's really cool. Just one thing that's cool about performing here is there's people who come through English speaking. People who do comedy from all over, like, you know, people from Tanzania, from like all the countries, you know.
Right.
I literally cannot think of another country besides Tanzania.
and you picked such an obscure one.
Well, that's the last person I met was from there. You know, hey, it's not obscure to them, Greg. Come on. Yeah, I'm just an ignorant American over here, but that's really cool, man. Shit, I am actually, my brain is forgetting things, so this could be the document of my downfall. But no, man, I love the local comedian things. Does anybody get mad at you about that? Like, is anybody ever love you?
I've had people, okay, there's a couple different scenarios, like, where I've had people who tell me, oh, I really liked as such and such a one that you posted, and I know for a fact that they didn't actually like it on social media. They just told me in person that they liked it, and usually I know that means, like, it's because it hit home to you and that, like, stung. Like, when you heard it, you were like, ah, shit, that's me, and then you didn't click like on it, and then you thought about it later and then told me that you liked it later. I have had ones where people specifically have been like, oh, that's me, you know, and there have been times where I definitely aimed on specific people. I didn't call them out specifically, but everybody knew who it was about. Because, you know, things happen, especially locally, like things happen. Like Atlanta's a pretty large scene, but things happen and it spreads quickly. You know, so, like somebody had somebody in like a fairly prominent position in comedy locally a few years back, you know, was caught stealing jokes. And, you know, the entire next local comedian day was pretty much all about that. And everybody knew that that's who it was. Same as somebody else at one time got called out for, you know, not paying comics money that he promised to pay them. And I you know, shit like that doesn't fly. I'll lean into stuff like that. You know, and I don't have to say anything. People know who it is. You know, like if it's going around, it's going around. And usually,
dude,
I
like this. You're like the public conscious, so to say.
I think that's what a lot of people go to it as, and you know, and a lot of times it really. Whenever somebody is kind of in their feelings about it, like, oh, this, you know, this is me, or you could have just tagged me in this or what, you know, and I'm like, well, I like my stock response is always local comedian is all of us sometimes. And because there are a lot of things that I've posted on. I've done almost 2,000 of those over the last like 5 years, and they're. A lot of them are self-reflective things I did when I was new and, you know, and then I see people still doing the same things now, like 10 years later. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like I did that when I was new and now this person's doing it when they're new. So right, they're just common themes.
Yeah. It's so good, man. It's a great, I think for, even just like for historical purposes, having it all sort of chronicled all those things that people knew comics do and all that. But let's get to the juicy tidbits, the joke stealing. Who was joke stealing? I mean, I don't know. Let's probably not name the name. I don't have the resources to deal with a lawsuit.
There was a guy, the club is closed now, but there was a guy who was basically like the house MC at a local club and for a, you know, brief period of time. And he was basically like, didn't have tons of time, but people were coming into town, like features from out of town were coming into town and doing time. And then when they would leave, like, you know, a week or two later, he was doing stuff that they came there and did, you know,
Holy shit.
Just basically like got called out on it. And then it was like, oh, you know, excuse. And then people gave him another chance and then he did it again. And then he pretty much just got blackballed, I guess.
Fuck, dude, that's terrible. Well, check this out. Let me hit you with some Istanbul scene. English speaking comedy scene gossip. There's a guy who he steals jokes. Okay, long story short, there's only a few until this Istanbul Comedy Club was started. There was only literally like maybe two places to perform, and one of the biggest names in Turkish comedy, think of it like Will Ferrell's production company. They I won't say the name, but if anybody from Turkey's listening, they know what I'm talking about. Like Will Ferrell's production company, it's not like Will Ferrell's involved in this or the famous Turkish person is involved. He just has this huge company and they sponsor an English speaking open mic show. And it's very well attended. I mean, like 200 people, great crowds. And the guy who runs it does professional comedians jokes. I was listening to it. It's like not even a secret but people don't really talk about it because there were so few places to get stage time. And I'm really the only one over here sort of doing something about it. And like, okay, I was listening to his jokes and I'm like, that sounds very familiar. So I just Googled them. I found all of them in Google. Like it was he was doing jokes about professional wrestling. I'm like, those, I've heard those. I Googled it. I Googled jokes about professional wrestling, stand-up jokes about professional wrestling. And he used like the second Google result, the third result, and then like the first one on the second page. It was literally just cherry-picked professional wrestling bits from other comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's so commonplace in a lot of people just don't realize what they're doing or that that's wrong. There's so many things about comedy that I feel like people just think that it's okay to do stuff like that. I don't really understand people's mentality. Like I used to host an open mic like years ago, and I remember one time a guy did George Carlin's airline security bit like word for word, like people didn't know it, you know?
Right.
And then even recently, like within the last 2 years, I was asked to help judge a stand-up comedy contest in kind of like a corporate setting where it was like somebody who books me for corporate gigs, they were doing a, you know, like Atlanta's funniest lawyer, you know, like whatever kind of thing. And I got asked to judge a competition. So I was like, all right, yeah, sure. And I went, and some of the people were great and had, you know, prepared. They were like, you know, it was like watching a brand new comic that had somewhat well-prepared material. But then there was one guy who did John Mulaney's bit about going to the, I don't know if you are familiar with it, but going to the party and stealing the picture of the people's family because it's the one thing they can't replace. Like it's
right.
It's a great bit, but the guy did that like word for word. And I mean, it murdered, like he killed, but you know, it's great material. And I was like, this is Mulaney's bit. Like, and I was the person that recognized it. And I was like, this is a John Mulaney bit. Like he's doing it word for word. And everybody was like, oh, well, fuck this guy, you know, like, and as a comic, all of us that were judging it were like, oh yeah, this guy, you know, fuck this guy. Cause he just stole this bit. But then when it came time to do the actual judging, people in the room were confused and furious when the guy didn't win because he killed.
Holy
you
shit.
Know?
That's so awkward. But
it's so awkward, you know? And then, but it was like, and at the same time, we're also being invited to this like function to participate in this. And, you know, like without getting into the, like, you don't want to be like, well, that guy's a thief, you know,
right,
like,
it's just,
you know, it's the first time he ever did comedy. And like, yeah, he didn't write material. He just did somebody's material, but it's like, yeah, you can't really do that. But also there's no stakes in this. Like, it's just like, it's just a bunch of like professionals screwing around and having fun, and they're not trying to be comedians, you know, like, so. But it was just like, as a comedian, like it was so frustrating. You're just like, this guy is killing, and he didn't do any of the work.
Jeez. Well, let me give my two cents, and you tell me if I'm off, because people here have been like, Matt, you know, hey, well, what's the big deal? He's stealing jokes. For one, the dude goes on last at all of his shows with stolen jokes. Greg, he reads them off his iPhone. Okay.
Oh God.
He reads them off his iPhone. Okay. It'd be different. Go first at reading off the iPhone, or go first and do really good. But to go last and okay, anyway. But to me, it's a problem because, like you said, you didn't put in work. Doing stand-up comedy is really hard because you have to come up with jokes, and when they don't work, it feels really, 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 really bad not to have people laugh when you try to be funny. It doesn't feel good. Some of the lowest I've ever felt is when I've done bad on stage. And it still happens today.
Yeah. You know?
Like, so it's like stolen valor to me. And
yes,
it's
exactly.
So easy to just say somebody else's jokes. It's so easy, and the majority of the public will not catch it. It's so easy that if we don't put up a fight about it, then more and more people will do it, and it will make it harder for people who do it legitimately. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this, but be prepared to be completely your serenity fucked with. Are you familiar with these French comedians that steal jokes?
I've been hearing something about this recently.
Greg, holy shit, dude. Prepare to have
they're
your
basically
mind blown. Prepare.
Yeah, I heard something about they're stealing jokes like from English speaking comedians and then basically like rewriting them in French.
Yeah, I do a joke now about it. Their number one comedian is Google Translate. I mean, literally,
yeah.
Bro, it's just type it in. I think French joke thief. There's a whole YouTube series about it, putting them side by side. I mean, they steal Carlin jokes. They steal fucking Jerry Seinfeld jokes. It is so maddening, especially because they're French.
Oh, yeah.
And French people are fucking annoying.
Well, I think like the thing about that is we're the ones who are the most affected because we're only affected because I think audiences in general don't really give a shit about the integrity within comedy. Audiences don't care. They're just there to laugh and they don't know the difference. Like, I feel like if an audience member went to a show and like, say they were, just for example, since I said it earlier, say they were a huge John Mulaney fan, they were familiar with all his work, and then they went to a show and saw someone telling his jokes, like then I feel like maybe they would be like, I don't, you know, how come you're doing that? Like, that's, you know, but I feel like 99% of the time audiences are not like, they like comedy and they like to laugh, but they're not like super well versed in everyone's material and don't really give a shit. They just want to laugh.
Right.
So exactly. They don't, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of people, to me, it's just, you know, it's a lack of integrity. It's a lack of like, if I write a joke and I start telling it and then I find out that somebody else has a joke that's very, very similar or whatever, I will do whatever I can to distance myself from what someone else is doing about the same thing, because I feel like I want it to be better. I don't want it to be something that someone else thought of too, you know, but other people don't give a shit. I think that is, there's a difference between people who want to be comedians and people who want to be famous for anything.
Right.
Comedy, you know, there's plenty of people who are, you know, famous at any cost comedians, like where that's all they're trying to do. They don't really give a shit about comedy. They want to be an actor or they want to do whatever it is. But to me, it's like, I want to be the best comedian that I can be. Like, that's why I got into comedy, because comedy is what I like. You know, I like the work. I like the struggle of trying to figure out the perfect wording for things. And then when somebody just takes that and runs with it, like, to me, there's always those assholes that will tell you that a joke is not like a tangible commodity or whatever. Like, there, nobody owns a joke, you know, like whatever, but it's clearly like, I wrote these words and, you know, this is my thing. And if I see somebody doing it word for word, then I'm like, all right, yeah, all you did was lift this.
Dude, it's bananas, dude. It's bananas. Here's a local comedian situation and with a stolen joke. When I first started stand-up in Atlanta, the first material I had were these Yo Mama jokes that were like deconstructed Yo Mama jokes. Like, your mother is so fat, I worry about her diabetes. And they were good jokes.
Yeah.
And it killed. And I did it, and then like a couple days later, I found that Maria Bamford does those jokes.
Right.
I was like horrified. I'm like, no, you know, I didn't want people to think I stole them. So, I mean, I stopped doing them, but that was,
that's usually the case with me. If I'm doing something, I've never looked at anyone's material and been like, oh, I should write a joke just like that or whatever. I've never, you know, anytime that I've ever written a joke and then I see somebody that does one that's very similar, I will either adjust mine, or if it's too close and then I think it's all right, well, I guess this is too common, I'll just drop it and write something else. I feel like anybody who's good at comedy will write another joke. You know, one joke is never going to make or break you.
Right.
Unless that's all you have. You know, like that's pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I did do a deconstructed, you might be a redneck if. So you might be a redneck if you were unfamiliar that Judiah Benjamin, the third in command of the Confederate States of America, was Jewish. I like it. It makes me laugh.
Speaking of joke theft and that format you just mentioned, there's a really funny comic who was on he was on like Kimmel or something. I can't say, the name escapes me, but he had a joke where he's like, yeah, if you think I steal jokes, you might be a redneck. And like, that's that to me, that's just such a funny.
Wait,
like,
say
turn.
It again, you broke up.
He said, if you think that I steal jokes, then you might be a redneck.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just a great like short joke. I can't remember who the comedian was, but it was so funny. Like, I would love to give credit where it's due because it's such a funny joke.
Well, how much time do you have left, man? I know you have somewhere to get to.
Yeah, I can probably go another 10 minutes or so.
Sweet, let's do 10 minutes. And I have a question to ask. I hate to just be gratuitous and get your professional opinion on comedy, but I mean, who cares? And my mom will be interested in this, I guess. if we hadn't lost her.
It's all for mom.
We might have lost her. Maybe your mom will listen. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, so I want to start doing crowd work. Like, and I've done it, like, you know, three times where I just do crowd work. And I really like it. And I am aware of, like, sort of the controversy in comedy with a comedian who does crowd work. So do you have any thoughts on crowd work in general, and how do comedians who do crowd work that you've seen, like, do they go on stage and say, I just do crowd work? I mean, how do they approach it where they're just the crowd work comic? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah, I know what you mean, and I'm very envious of people who are good at crowd work. Like I'm very reactionary with a crowd. Like I'm not the type of person, like, I go out there with my jokes and I'm ready to tell them, and then yeah, if something interrupts me or something happens organically, I will do something in the moment. But people who just go on stage with no plan and kill just talking to the crowd, like, that's not a major thing in my wheelhouse. I'm always impressed by people that can do it. Because there are great comics that are very crowd work based, or they're just heavy crowd work comics. Like people like, you know, Guy Branum and like Jimmy Pardo and stuff.
Like
that just, Guy Branum.
And then who else?
Yeah. Jimmy Pardo. There's like, and they're like bigger comics. Like on a local level, there's a lot of good crowd work people too. But I'm always, I don't know. I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, well, you just get up there and just like riff or what. I mean, more power to you. If you're funny, you're funny. Like some people are really good at that kind of stuff where I'm just like, okay, they didn't have to prepare anything for this. But I also feel like a lot of times if you watch the same people that you think are so great and spontaneous, they have crowd work bits, you know, like they do, you know what I mean? And I have stuff like that too. Like I have programmed responses for certain things. Like I have some jokes where I, you know, poll the audience for something and, you know, there's say 5 or 6 different categories that their response could fall into. And then I have a place that I go from there. And, you know, it just depends on what it is, but I can't just go up raw and say, hey, look at this asshole, you know, and just start start riffing on them and stuff. I'm not that kind of person. I envy comics like that just because they are so quick like that. But then they're the same people that are like, yeah, how do you write a joke? You know, and I'm like, well, it's different. I mean, we're just approaching it differently, but I don't discredit them as comics. But I will say that I will say bad crowd work is worse than bad prepared jokes.
Right. Sort of the fail factor of it can be bigger.
Yes, it is definitely worse. But there's, you know, when you see somebody that is just riffing with the crowd and making them have a great time and they're not doing any prepared material at all, they're just kind of, you know, going at it and it's killing, it's hard to top a lot of times,
right?
You know, because the crowd feels like they're involved in it, right? You know, the crowd wants nothing more than to feel like they're a part of it. So a comedian like that makes them feel great if they do well, you know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm writing all this down. This is good. Thank you. because here's the thing, man. So there is a English speaking stand-up scene here, but it's just barely a scene. Like there is two shows a week and they're packed each one. So there's not like an open mic scene where we can go and work out material with not such a huge crowd. I mean, I'm just finding it's really hard to work out new jokes in front of 80 people who are very attentive and there to listen and see a show. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like,
right,
fuck, man. So it's kind of come out of that. Like, okay, people, I try a joke and it's just a wall of silence of 80 people. Where start talking to them, you know what I mean? It's like it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's weird. I try, like, the longer that I've been doing it, the more comfortable I've gotten with not being so rigid in my planning. You know, like when I first started, it was always like, okay, I'm doing 5 minutes. Here's a joke. Here's the time that I'm hopefully holding for a laugh. Here's a joke. This fills my 5 minutes. You know, now, like now when I do sets, I'm like, oh, I'm going to probably do this joke, but I don't know how I'm going to start, right? You know? and it may be like, I personally like to make a comment on the last comic set or, you know, just whatever. Like, I don't, you know, not to like burn them, but just to like keep the flow going. Like I'm listening to the show as well, you know, and then it seems like there's some kind of fluidity to it. It just depends. Like, but I definitely like to let that stuff happen organically. I'm not going to generate much funny stuff by walking up there and being like, hey, what's your name? You know, not going to work for me. But some people are great at that. Like some people are so good at that, that I don't know. It's like, you know, when you play a video game and you make your character and they have their stats and everything. I feel like comics would have that same kind of thing that would be, you know, their joke writing, their likability, their you know, intuitiveness or whatever. Like everybody has strong points and weak points of what they do. And I feel like some people are just, you know, their energy is really good. They're really likable. They can just talk about whatever, but they can't sit down and write a joke at home. You know, like there's lots of different types of comics. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being somebody who specializes in crowd work if you're good at it. But it's, I think it's harder to get good at it.
Right, right. Well, how have you seen these guys start? Like they don't address that they're crowd work comedians, do they? I mean, they just go into their stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think it's the same as everybody else. They go, I honestly don't really know how you get into it that way, because you know as well as anybody that like when you start at Mike's, there's not a lot of people there to talk to, exactly. You know, like you get up there and start talking about whatever. But I also think the grind of constant mics is what makes people figure out how to, you know, get something out of nothing.
Right, right, right.
Like, and some people just go that way, you know, where it's like, I have to do something different every time, or that, you know, you go do like 12 mics in the, you know, in the city in the same week or whatever. And, you know, everybody sees you do the same stuff all the time. And then you get self-conscious, and then you just start trying to come up with different stuff every time. And then it's, you know, well, what can I talk about at this show? And like, oh, well, they got a weird looking thing in here. Let me talk about that. Or, you know, whatever it is, and they start riffing on stuff.
Got you.
And I think it's just like with jokes, they find the bullet points and, you know, and start working on it. Like if you know, when you watch somebody that's really good at crowd work, they have a lot of the same stuff that they get into, you know, like crowds are pretty universal. Right. You know, if you go to a place that has, this place has 100 people in it, this place has 100 people in it, like that's a starting point. It's the same, you know, like you can, especially if you're just going to like, what's your name? What do you do? You know, and you've got a lot of shit to work with, then yeah, it can get funny. But it also, sometimes I feel like people who are bad at crowd work, like they start cutting off the rest of the room. You know, they start focusing on one person and it's going nowhere, and they stay with it for too long. And then the next thing you know, the rest of the room is like, you know, why are you just talking to this one guy?
Right. That's good. Writing all this down. Yeah, man, this is giving me resolve. So you don't think if I say, okay, I'm going to try to just do crowd work for the next year, like you, that's nothing to feel ashamed about. I mean, it's just, that's a type of comedy.
No, I mean, it's a type of comedy. If that's, you know, if that's what you want to focus on, I mean, you have to set little standards for yourself and what you want to do. Like, and if it's, I'm going to try doing crowd work, or, you know, I'm going to try by opening, by talking to somebody in the crowd and see where it goes. You know, that's one thing. Like, I mean, it's no different than, there's been times where I'm like, all right, I'm going to do, you know, these next 10 shows, I'm not going to write a set list. I'm just going to get up there and just start
and see
where I end up. You know, like, I don't think it's any different than that, but there's also, you know, there's also going to be the ego inside of you where you're like, okay, I'm committing to doing this, but all right, now I'm like 5 minutes into a 10-minute set and I've gotten nothing. So let me pull out something that's going to save this, you know, like whatever, like this is going nowhere. Or I've been on those shows before where it's like, I've been on a show where it's crowd work specific and, you know, like the show is all about just riffing with the audience or whatever. And then, or specific topics or whatever it is. And then by the time they get to the end of the show, there's only like 12 people there to begin with. Everybody's worked out. Like I already know everything about them. So what am I supposed to talk about?
Right.
You know what I mean? You never, like anytime you see somebody who's like the, the 12th guy who's done crowd work on a room of 10 people. It's not going to go well.
Point. Yeah. Yeah. Geez.
You want to get that in early, but I mean, crowd work is so helpful for, like, if you want to MC shows. I mean, I think that's another place where people pick up a lot of crowd work tendencies, is if they MC a lot, just because it is welcoming people, and then, you know, finding out a little bit about them and making sure that they feel at home and not necessarily telling them jokes.
Right. Yeah. I really appreciate this, man. I know you have to go. This is good. It really helps me. And also, like, it makes me think, like, I have a unique situation here that we don't have a lot of opportunity. We don't have the quantity of stage time here, but every time we perform, it's like,
right,
it's almost packed, you know, and there's people to riff off of. There's people from other countries, you know, and there's a lot of shit to
yeah,
material to go with. And they're out, they want to have fun. They're on vacation. They want to fucking, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, shit, man, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Good, man. Thanks. And, me too.
So all I ask, if you promote it on your social medias, tell people you loved it.
Okay.
And, hey, man.
Yeah. Let me know when it's up or available or whatever.
And best of luck with your thing today. And then in general, that this whole shit blows over so you can, it won't fuck up your shit. Do you want to plug anything real quick?
Yeah.
To my mom?
For your mom. Yeah. Just follow me on social media. I'm at Gregular Comedy on everything.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Good stuff. All right, man.
All right, man. Thanks.